Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and it is my absolute privilege and pleasure to be with you on the first Tuesday night, November 2014. If you have dialed into this call for the first time, this is the More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. This call is recorded each and every Tuesday night and available for playback, download, and podcast the following day by noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock Pacific. You can also access all of my archive calls that go back multiple years, all the way back to the early 2000s. I've been hosting this call since 1998, but I have recordings of this call going back into the early 2000s. And in the archive calls, you will see I have recordings with the great Jim Rohn on two different occasions, Mark Victor Hansen, movie producer Steven Simon, the producer of the movie Somewhere in Time and the Academy Award-winning movie What Dreams May Come, along with Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, and a whole host of exceptional, inspirational, affluential, and spiritual writers and speakers. Next Tuesday night, I have an exceptional gentleman, Brad Mossman, who has a great story to share with you about how going from rock bottom to being the senior marketing director and president of his own company, and it's going to be a fantastic call. His story absolutely deserves to be heard. On December 2nd, I will have Alexis Romano as my guest. Alexis has been on my program on numerous occasions and brings an absolute great story herself, from being a high school guidance counselor, a multipreneur, to a six- and seven-figure income earner in the network marketing and direct sales arena, and is an exceptional entrepreneur and an exceptional human being. So I will have those guests before the end of the year. In 2015, I will be bringing back the Millionaire Blueprint two-day events on at least two locations, one in Denver, Colorado, and also on the East Coast in New Jersey at some point early in 2015. This Saturday, I'm hosting my two-and-a-half-day event, the Protégé Writer Speakers Workshop. It is an advanced course for my coaching clients who've attended Breakthroughs to Success. Next Saturday, November 15th, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Some of my most exceptional clients who are also inspirational speakers, multipreneurs, will be at that event. Brad Mossman, C.G. Siddons, Alexis Romano, and many other exceptional people. You have the opportunity to hear their story, receive some of their insight on free enterprise. On November 22nd, I will be in Los Angeles, California, one of my favorite cities. Crystal Lowry will be my featured speaker immediately after lunch on Saturday, November 2nd. My first ever trip to Long Island, New York on December 6th. I want to thank Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz, who will be my exceptional host of that event. I'll be in Phoenix for the last event of the year, the end of the era. I will have traveled 155,000 air miles by the time I land on Saturday, December 20th, after my last event of the year in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, at the Arizona Biltmore Plaza at the DoubleTree Hotel, right there in a great spot. And then when we wrap up, we start the first of the year. That will be in Palm Springs on Thursday. That will be January 15th. That will be a fantastic event, Thursday, January 15th. That is from noon until 4, and that event will be a Millionaire Blueprint with Susan Sly and Alexis Romano. January 24th, Philadelphia, and then January 31st, El Paso, Texas. I'm going to be in many other locations as we launch 2015 as a nice ring to it. St. Louis, Missouri on March 7th for my first time ever. I'll be in Spartanburg, South Carolina in February, and I have several open dates that I am in the process of booking. April 4th, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. With that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. If you're on this call for the first time, as I said, this call is recorded and will be available for playback. Tonight's call is going to be a very unique call on how to let go of a situation that keeps many people doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. If you find yourself analyzing, getting ready to get ready, procrastinating, and most importantly, processing or checking out, then this call is dedicated to the insight that will allow you to let go. If you find yourself disappointed with your results, not happy with your progress, you find yourself avoiding the perceived pain of success or the perceived pain of sales, marketing, free enterprise, writing your first blog, writing your first ebook, or any multitude of situations that keep you doing the same thing, overwhelmed, unorganized, and in a very disappointed state, then I'll give you direct content in the cause that creates the effect of your procrastination that leads to your emotional disappointment. So if you find yourself living in your head and you want to let go of that situation, if you find yourself overwhelmed and don't know why you do what you do, then I'll give you the direct situations, the cause that continues to create the effect of your procrastination. But what typically what many people do is they tend to overanalyze. They tend to get ready. They do the same situation over and over, just like I said, avoiding the perceived pain of the situation. And if you are ready to relieve yourself of that and don't know why you do what you do, then I'm going to cover the cause that continues to create the effect. You don't process because you're a processor, and you don't analyze because you're an analyzer, and you don't think because you're a thinker, and you don't check out because you've checked out. You do this because it's a condition that's become a behavior. But let's take a look at your history. When you entered the educational system, you were taught a series of exercises on how to read a book from left to right. You were taught how to memorize information. The educational and learning system does not reward you for being creative. It rewards you for reading left to right and following the system that will allow you to get a series of grades. Like I said, you're not rewarded for being creative. You're rewarded for following protocol. And you're taught to analyze, memorize, read situations that keep you doing the same thing over and over. And you're also taught, if you grow up in a dysfunctional home or a home with passive-aggressive people in your circle of influence, and then you have terms like walk on eggshells, or if you lived in unpredictability, or you're not certain what's going to happen, and you live in that state, it's very common to be able to be put in a position where you have to explain, validate, justify your existence. And if you are an addicted justifier, an addicted explainer, it's going to be a challenge for you to master sales and marketing skills. You have to learn to let go of the control that keeps you in control, thinking, analyzing, and processing, and checking out. What does checking out actually mean? Well, my own interpretation means this. It means that you tend to go into your analytical, egoic mind. You go into your analyzing mind where you can resolve the problem. And if you have grown up in a situation that you might get in trouble, you would get yourself in a situation where you would get unvalidated, you would get judged, or you would get criticized. It's very common to be very careful in your communication style. It's very common for people to use wells, okays, and then create a sense of uncertainty in their communication style. And this way, it keeps you safe, keeps you disappointed, keeps you procrastinating, keeps you getting ready to get ready. Your left brain, which is your intelligent brain, part of its process is to resolve problems. And if you perceive a situation to be painful, your left brain will do what it's conditioned to do. It'll teach you to avoid the perceived pain. So it's not only the events that create your beliefs, but it's perception of the events that give you the moods, the feelings that eventually become your identity. If you're brand new and free enterprise, just started your first business, and you don't have a lot of skills, habits, or mindset versed in free enterprise, direct sales, internet marketing, network marketing, your own small business, then there's a high probability you will tend to get overwhelmed. You don't want to call yourself a procrastinator or say you're the world's worst procrastinator. You want to learn to understand that procrastination means to avoid, and you will tend to avoid situations you perceive to be painful, to not make mistakes, feel judged, offend someone or any situation that will allow you to stay safe, disappointed, overwhelmed, and unorganized. And a large percent of the population does this. Check out. It means you're not a skilled listener. It means you don't have the innate ability to hear what's meant, not just what is said. A large percent of the population that in the middle of a conversation or communication checks out, begins to process, analyze, get ready, and find the perfect situation. Now, if you wait for the perfect situation or you wait to make your move when it's perfect, then you won't make your move before you're ready. You have to learn to do this. Trust your feelings. You have to learn to let go of the control that keeps you in control, controlling the control that keeps you out of control. And that's what a lot of processing does. Processing keeps you safe and keeps you disappointed. Now, your words are your law, and what you say to yourself will dictate your action or your inaction. But if you tend to say situations are very hard, they are difficult, and this always happens to me, then you have created your reality before you started. Now, if you are in a position that you have suffered enough, you want to recondition your brain, you want to let go of your analytical, egoic mind that keeps you processing, then you have to learn how to trust your feelings. That means your innate ability to feel and trust, your extrasensory perception, your ability to know that you know and let go of what you don't know and let go of what you think you have to know so you can be perfect. Perfection is overrated. It's practical perfection can lead to results, but it's neurotic perfection that leads to the overwhelmed state. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I'm not sure. If you did know, what would you do? If you were sure, what would you say? That is neuro-linguistic programming. That means reframing someone's communication, ending it with a question. Your objective to connect with the soul having a human experience, or your objective in free enterprise, if you are seeking to attract prosperity partners to your reality, or you want to find people who are highly productive, or you're seeking people that you can collaborate with to create results, then it's your responsibility to attract to your reality the people that you have harmony with. But if you continue to live in your analytical processing brain, you'll continue to attract people similar to your situation to feel and stay disappointed. Now, if you're ready to let go of that situation, then you have to understand this, risk for reward, minimal risk for reward. You require skills, habits, and mindset of your vocation. If you desire to become a professional, then you have to practice the repetition and experience of the vocation required to be good. If you desire to be great, you have to master the emotional skills first. Then it's a simple discipline one day at a time, the 10,000-hour habit. You can never be exceptional when you continue to stay average and play small. When you continue to worry, the value of worrying is nothing. If there's no value in doing a situation, then why would you continue to do it? The typical reason that people do it is they become emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that creates a biochemical dependency that they become dependent on, doing the same thing over and over, which obviously is the definition of an addiction. Many people say it's insanity, but this is what many people do, live in their head. Now, why does most of society live in their head? Number one, because it's safe. Number two is because they can avoid the responsibility of changing. Success contradicts the familiar. If you have struggled all of your life, then becoming successful will contradict your struggle. And this is why so many people, when you present an opportunity of value, a product or service, or a benefit, a feature that can actually change the quality of their life, their health, or that situation, this is why they tend to not certain, let me think about it, evaluate it, talk to someone down the street, the fireman, the dog catcher, someone in the same financial situation that I am, someone else who's as broke as I am, who can assist me not to decide to change my life. There's a high probability that that is what like will attract like. And when you start to understand predictability and probability, then you learn not to take situations personal. It's also another reason that many people stay in their head and process. because they create a story about the outcome before they start that typically never happens. Worst case scenario, that's what many people, what's the worst case scenario? What's the worst thing that could happen? A large percent of society has anxiety about failing. They put more energy into failing than they put energy into succeeding. And the more you understand why people do what they do, especially if you are a leader of men and women, a team leader, then you will not feel disappointed when people check out, they leave, go off auto ship, find where the grass is greener, quit, or go back to the cow and sheep pasture where all the other people who are living the status quo, tiptoeing quietly through life, who will arrive at their grave safely, paying the greatest pain, the pain of regret. And the more you understand this, that the law of averages are dictated by the law of the few. And if you want to be the law of the few, then you have to let go of the law of the many. That means you have to learn to let go of living in your left brain, your egoic mind, all of the time you spend studying, all of the time you spend in seminars, rallies, conventions, that all it really leads to is getting ready to get ready. Events can shape your life. But what's important when you go to an event is you take the practical application from the event. You not only attend the event, but you take what you learn at the event and you produce. And that means Monday. But what happens to most people on Monday after a weekend event is the spray paint has worn off of the rust. Their motivation, which they were highly motivated on Friday and Saturday, on Monday has worn off. That's why you must be and stay inspired. That means reasons bigger than your problems. But if you don't have clearly defined short-term goals, if you do not have dreams, then you will spend a great deal of your time processing. Processing is your analyzing egoic mind that keeps you safe. You keep doing the same thing over and over. Now take a look back and reflect on the year 2014. Many of you attended a live event in January with your company, your team, your circle of influence. You may have attended in January or February and March or the first quarter, and you attended an event where you said, oh my God, baby, this is my year. This is it. This is it. The deal is done. This is the year that I'm going to achieve six and or seven figures. This is the year of my dreams. This is when it's all going to come together. You two square. 2 plus 2 is going to equal 16, my compounded effect. And that's what you were saying back then. But your talk was bigger than your action. When your action is bigger than your talk, you will create results. When you bring simple, practical, methodical, systematic discipline one day at a time, the non-glamorous factor, to your enterprise, then you'll start to create results. Results are what create the compounded effect. The simple discipline that allows you to become a professional means you start to develop hand-eye coordination. You start to develop a very relaxed attitude. You start to live in relaxed intensity. You let go of worrying. You let go of the perceived outcome. You're not concerned with being disappointed. You learn to live in the moment. You learn to live in the present. You learn to take deep breaths, release, and let go. You learn to live in your spiritual, emotional body rather than living in your left brain, egoic head. You stop processing and you start producing. Processing will keep you disappointed. Production will keep you paid. The more that you learn how to produce, the more the laws of compensation will be in your favor. When you consistently continue to process and get ready to get ready, the law of averages is the law of the diminished. And when you continue to do the same thing over and over, I can guarantee you will get the same result. You have to learn a different set of reflexes. Corporate America, corporate Canada, the educational system has taught you how to react. That's why so many of you check out to say the right thing. And it's not your fault because you've been conditioned to say the right thing through corporate America, the educational system, and passive-aggressive people in your circle of influence. You've been conditioned to regurgitate information that will allow you to become, to rank advance in your corporations. But that kind of rank advance does not get you to the land of promise in free enterprise. You've also learned how to kiss ass in corporate America if you climb the corporate ladder. You understand that there's a lot of backstabbing stabbing that goes on in that situation. The situation typically isn't fair. The best man or best woman for the job doesn't always get the job. And there's a lot of inaccuracies and inequities that go on in that situation. It's very easy to get disappointed, form an identity, have a low vibrational emotional state of discouragement and disappointment. Then, voila, one day, mythically, magically, an opportunity arrives on your doorstep, and you said, I am me, I am free. You have officially fired your boss, and you have stepped into free enterprise. And then the commute from your boardroom to your bedroom, that's only 30 seconds, oftentimes ends up being 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks, and 3 months, because you never get around to putting your ass in the chair, AIC. You never get around to learning the basic, simple, methodical, systematic skills that will allow you to be successful, because you're in anxiety about the outcome. And then you process, get ready to get ready. You write a new script, you re-script the script you scripted, and you keep scripting the script that keeps you perfect, because one day, mythically, magically, you will have the magical script. You will know what to say. You will have everything written on your walls in lipstick. So you will know the perfect response when someone says this. You have to let go of what's going on, the noise in your head, when you try and outguess what hasn't happened. When you let go of what you think you have to do and trust what you know you're going to do, then you won't be so overwhelmed worrying about worry. What value does worry bring you? Unequivocally, N-O-T-H-I-N-G. What value does procrastination bring you? Nothing. What will bring you results is this: action. Inaction keeps you procrastinating. Action means this. You look at your vocation. You break down the common denominator. What will bring me the greatest return on my energy? What will bring me the greatest return on my action? Procrastinating will not be it. What will bring you the greatest return on your action is learning how to do this. Ask questions. Questions are the key to the result. If you own a business that requires sales and marketing skills, closing skills, team building skills, creating a culture, then you have to be able to connect with people. Connecting is nothing more than asking oriented questions about an outcome you seek. It's a very simple equation. Learn to ask questions in a sequence. Learn to develop interviewing skills. Learn to understand why people do what they do. Learn to understand buying behaviors. Learn to understand commonalities about why people continue to do the same thing over and over. It's called human behavior. It's a very simple discipline to master, but very complicated when you continue to live in a complicated state that keeps you overwhelmed. When you are overwhelmed, you're in a neurological state where your body is secreting a biochemical that eventually becomes cortisol. When you are in a very relaxed emotional state and you're not concerned with all the details, and you can operate in auto-suggestion without getting overwhelmed about the possibility of failing, saying the wrong thing, getting rejected, getting objected, or any situation that will bring you to disappointment, when you're not consumed or concerned with those situations, then you are in the present. When you are in a state called now, you can actually bend and or slow time down. But when you're in an overwhelmed, anxious state watching the clock has a whole different set of meaning. And when your day goes by and you had a good intention but a poor delivery, then you are disappointed. When you go to bed disappointed or in a state called guilt and or shame, and you take that into your sleep, then you do not rest. This is when you wake up with tension mandibular joint, you have a headache because your neck is subluxated, your low back is out, your rib head is out on the non-dominant side of your body, you have a stiff back, or any situation that keeps you in dis-ease. Now, if you want to learn the life of ease and you want to become an easy-ologist, then it's important you learn to let go of how hard and how difficult situations are. Once again, your words will deliver your action or your inaction. When you understand that your words are law and you begin to change your communication style, especially the way you communicate with yourself, and you learn to use words of action, you learn to use words of commitment, words of decision in your communication style, you also learn how to write sales copy, you learn persuasion skills. skills and techniques. You learn how to reframe a sentence, turn it into a question so that you're in command of the emotional equation, then you're not going to be so overwhelmed. When you learn basic, simple skills and how to ask a question in a sequence, then you won't be so overwhelmed about failing. When you put energy into failing, you will procrastinate because you get so overwhelmed about the possibility of failing that you can't possibly move into the emotion of success. Success is a very emotional process, and to be and stay successful, you require success habits. But when you're conditioned to analyze, when you're conditioned to control, when you're conditioned to take care of everyone else, it's going to be challenging for you to create results. When you are so overwhelmed that you feel you have to take care of everyone else, when you are an addicted enabler, when you're an addicted over-obligator, you're going to be overwhelmed before you begin. You will not have the opportunity to practice the 10,000-hour habit required to become a professional. You will continue to stay an amateur and living in the law of the lid where you will have challenges exceeding $500, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. For most people, it's stay overwhelmed in an intoxicated emotional state where they process. They spend most of their career processing. Now, processors have to be told what to do. Sometimes processors and analyzers can be good employees because when given a set of instructions and rules in a blueprint, they can conform. But to be able to be in free enterprise, you have to become your best employee. You might be the CEO of your organization. You might be the president and founder of your SC corporation, your LLP, or your LLC, but you must also be your best producer. You must start to develop production habits, not procrastination habits. The word procrastination in Latin means to avoid. And if you continue to avoid success, dodge success, have anxiety about success, worry about success, then you will spend more of your time avoiding failure. When you start to learn success habits, success principles, have a mindset about success, when success becomes an identity, when you start to feel successful, when you begin to love yourself unconditionally, when you let go of judgment, when you let go of violations and pain, and when you can assess events for what they are and separate yourself from the feelings about the event. See, what many people do when they continue to process is they've been through a series of events where they've been injured, where they've been hurt, where they've been violated, where they've been abandoned and rejected. And if you're not skilled at filtering yourself from the event, then the event becomes your identity. So to avoid failing, avoid being rejected, avoid being violated, what many people do is process, analyze, and live in their head. They don't want to experience the same experience that they continue to hold on to. And this is why rejection hinders so many people. You have to also understand that traditionally, when it comes to sales and marketing, most of the society does not reject you. When they don't buy from you, when they're not interested, it's typically not personal. Occasionally, you'll encounter a situation with a relative or someone you know or know of, will say an unfavorable remark, but this will be in a very isolated situation. Most of the people that you present an opportunity, a product, a service, a benefit, or a feature, many of them will prejudge the situation before they even get around to understanding the benefit, the feature, and the value. You have to learn to be able to walk away from that situation, not personalize it, and not turn it into what it isn't. But when you process it, when you have anxiety about it, then you'll continue to get ready to avoid the perceived pain. So when you start to understand why you do what you do, then you can start to take not a leap of faith. You don't have to go over the cliff, but it's nothing more than simple discipline practiced one day at a time. The way you communicate with yourself, your self-talk, will be a byproduct of the results you do or don't attract. But when you learn to check your words at the door, you start to change the way you communicate, you will also begin to change what you attract. But if you continue to say the same thing over and over and you bring the same type of energy to the dance, and you're not willing to take a good look at cause and effect, you're not objective, you're not willing to change, then you will continue to get the same thing over and over. An addict always wants a little more. An addict wants to stay in control of the control that keeps them controlling the same situation over and over to be and stay addicted. For 14 years of my life, I battled drugs and alcohol. The last 3 years of my alcohol addiction, went beyond problematic. It went to where it was a daily occurrence where I would not only relapse, but I would go into a destitute state. I would get so overwhelmed trying to control my addiction that my self-talk was not conducive to ever stopping. I couldn't see myself not drinking. I couldn't see myself without alcohol. I couldn't see myself not going to happy hour, which was a lie. I never even got around to going to happy hour. I was usually blacked out before happy hour even came about. I spent a great deal of my early morning processing, trying to figure out where I bought alcohol the day before that, the week before. I had so much control, I didn't want anyone to know that I was buying alcohol from the same liquor stores day after day. That was controlling the control to stay out of control. An addict always wants a little more. And if you feel addicted to an emotional state that keeps you doing the same thing over and over, you have suffered enough. When you want to end the era, when you want to practice the death of the ego, when you're really ready to let go, letting go is not linear. Letting go is not physical. Letting go is emotional. Letting go is a decision. Letting go is a commitment. When you are so done with this, my good friend C.G. Siddons says, but when you are so done with this, when you're ready to drop the drama, when you no longer want to carry the nobler's hit parade flag, when you're ready to let go of noble struggling, when you have struggled enough and you have hit rock bottom, or you don't even want to hit rock bottom, when you are so tired of being tired, when you're overwhelmed being overwhelmed, that is when you can let go of your processing. Processing is exhausting. When you spend a great deal of your time avoiding commitment, avoiding decision, avoiding responsibility, avoiding changing, avoiding succeeding, avoiding feelings, or avoiding, when you spend a lot of time avoiding, then that's what you do. You avoid. What do you do all day? I ask people. I'm not sure. Well, if you were sure, what do you typically do? Well, you do what most people do is you burn your most valuable commodity, T-I-M-E. Time is of the essence. Time is a commodity. Time is a value. But if you don't value time, then time doesn't value you. Time is a lot like money. It does not have a conscience. It consistently runs. Time is a lot like water. It moves. It continually moves. We are the only species that measures times. Notice how animals in the animal kingdom operate in time. Ducks and geese and other animals migrate. They know when it's time. They don't process when to hibernate. They don't overanalyze where to go. They know innately how to form in a V. The ducks and geese get in a V. They know how to draft. They know how to move positions in the flight line. They know where they're going. They're going north and south. They don't sit around and contemplate. They don't plan it. They don't spend a lot of time getting ready to get ready. They know when to go. They know when to go to sleep. They don't have an alarm clock. They know when to get up. They don't operate in that kind of time. They operate in ease. They spend most of their day foraging and looking for food. So it's a whole different set of circumstances when you start to take a good look at the animal kingdom and start to have a better understanding of why people do what they do. Now, we are the most intelligent species on Earth. Many of you on tonight's call have very high IQs. Some of you have very high emotional IQs. But all of you on tonight's call have a level of emotional intelligence. You seek more, you desire more, you want to become more. You are seeking to live the good life. And it's you that has to be able to do this, decide what constitutes the good life. It is like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. And when you start to have a very good idea, clearly defined short-term goals, you know, you understand, you're committed, you have desire, you're decisive, you will not be denied, and you can come from this kind of emotional state and you can speak into existence a series of affirmations to state, to affirm. And when you are very clear in your communication style, your law of averages are enhanced. And in that type of law of average, you'll have a law of average in your law of attraction that will be conducive to creating a compounding effect. You cannot create any any compounding when you are processing. The kind of compounding you will attract when you'll process is other people to fulfill your biochemical craving that you're addicted to: disappointment, discouragement, fear, anxiety, and doubt. And when you live in that kind of emotional state, then your law of attraction is the law of diminished return. Very few people will be able to slip through the eye of the needle to be able to connect with you. But when you sit around and romance that ideal, perfect distributor, that perfect person to join your enterprise, that perfect producer, they typically end up somewhere else because your energy repels them. When you sit around and process, you send a mixed message. When you communicate with people and you're processing while you're communicating, meaning you're checking out because you're concerned with how to say the right thing, when you try and gauge what to say, when you're trying to outguess the person you're communicating with, you are processing. You're going to be very ineffective in your communication style. One of the most ineffective ways that I see people communicate is anxiety laughter. A large percent of the population will check out by laughing when nothing is funny. Many of you on tonight's call have attended my events. I watch people how when I'm speaking laugh when nothing is funny. I'm very acutely aware of why people do what they do. Laughing in a seminar when nothing is funny, when someone is making a point, is the ultimate checkout. People ask me, why do you call people out when they laugh? Because of two reasons. Number one, there's two types of laughter. When you are laughing from joy, bliss, love, you're at a movie that brings you to a whole state of enjoyment, or you're at a place that you just are receiving and you're able to laugh or emit feelings from that, that's a different kind of biochemical situation that gets created from the adrenaline that you're releasing. That type of feeling releases a steroid that's an adrenaline that becomes dopamine. But when you laugh when nothing is funny in mid-sentence and you check out and you're right-handed and your left eye iris goes up to the ceiling and you go ha 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 ha, when you're coming from that space, it's going to take you several seconds to come back in your body. Many people that laugh that way have no idea that they just checked out and didn't really hear what was said. And if that is you, take a good look tonight or tomorrow on why you do what you do. Take a good look at why you did that, where it began, how it started, and why you continue to do the same thing over and over. That type of laughter typically comes from being criticized by someone who's passive and or aggressive. That's a deflection mode. When you deflect what's being said and check out, then typically you miss the meaning of what people are communicating. Many people miss a great deal of the conversation, and this is what happens. This is why many people have challenges following directions, because in the middle of the directions, they lose sight of what is being said. They start saying, wow, your brain goes, this is complicated. You always mess up. You never get to your destination. You always screw up. So in mid-sentence, when someone's giving you directions, yeah, go 3 miles down to mile marker 118, take a left, go 3 miles north, and at the first right, turn right, go another 2 miles, and right there is where you'll find the Smith residence. What most people do is they checked out in the first 15 seconds of the conversation because they already determined that they were going to make a mistake, and this is why many people do. Many people are grounded and well-versed in mistake consciousness. If you live in mistake consciousness, you walk on eggshells, you have a passive aggressive person in your circle of influence that is still in your life because of guilt, shame, blame game, you have that person that you still keep around you to continue to violate you emotionally, to continue to reinforce why you check out, or you've attracted other people to create the same situation over and over so you can check out, analyze, validate, justify, stay mad, live in unresolved anger, then you'll create the same situation in your cultures and your teams. You'll never be effective at communicating. You'll never get what you want because you're not able to ask for your want. Checking out also leads to guilt. This is why many people check out when they're about to get a result, because getting the result will contradict their identity. This is why success contradicts struggle. So many people come from a struggle consciousness. waving the struggler's hit parade. The noble struggler, please, please recognize me. I have absolutely exhausted myself. Please, someone recognize me. I'm the noble martyr. I have served everyone in the freaking planet. I've done everything for everyone. I've put everyone's auto ship on my credit card. I am the drama addict. Please, please recognize me. I don't get a result. I save and rescue everyone. That's what there's a large percent of the population that does that. Let go of the anxiety about the what are other people going to think? How do you know? The situation hasn't been created. Imagine how much time you waste processing, how much time you waste analyzing, how much time you worry about writing a post. Well, I'm not good at writing. You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know who to be. I can't get my words together. I get tongue-tied. And many people say this, tongue-tied. Now, I have seen people tie a cherry stem in their mouth at a bar. I'm a recovering lounge lizard. That is correct. I have seen people take a maraschino cherry and tie a knot in it, but I have never seen anyone tie a knot in their tongue. Being tongue-tied is a misnomer. It's typically not a probability. Now, I remember Gene Simmons has a very long tongue from the band Kiss, but I doubt if he could tie his tongue. Being tongue-tied is a misnomer. It's not a reality. You not get tongue-tied. What typically happens is you check out. You get emotionally overwhelmed about mid-sentence, forget what you think you're supposed to say, worried about what to say while you forgot what to say. You practiced, rehearsed, got ready. You've memorized your script, what you're going to do in combat situation, what you're going to do when the prospect says this, when Joe Smo from Kokomo is sitting at home in his underwear, drinking a Schlitz, says, "Where did you get my number?" You check out. You go into your analytical, egoic mind and start processing. You go, well, I don't know where I got your number, but I'm really embarrassed. So let's go ahead and get this conversation over, Joe Smo. Why don't you hang up and I will be disappointed? That's what many people do. They create a story about the outcome before they ever began, and that is called processing. Learn to let go of the outcome. That's what it means, letting go of the outcome. Letting go of the outcome typically means the story you invent that never really happens. Now, be honest with yourself. How many of you invent a story based on a perceived failure to avoid the perceived pain that never really happens so you can justify not being responsible? It's not failure that you fear. It's the anxiety about being able to maintain success. It's the anxiety about changing your identity. It's the anxiety of, oh, my freaking God, I might actually pull this off. If you're one of these people that's so brilliant being brilliant, in your brilliance, you get so overwhelmed being brilliant that you're processing your brilliance and you don't know where to bring your brilliance to, you've got so many ideas in free enterprise, you're going to be a multipreneur, but you can't get off the launching pad. That's not very effective. It's much more valuable to be effective than it is perfect. Perfection becomes a way of life for many people who process. You process for the perfect moment. You process for the perfect date. You process for the perfect script. You process for the perfect post to write. You wait for the perfect airline ticket to buy at the last minute so you can go to the rally, the convention, the seminar. Someday, somehow, mythically, I'm going to find the money. You wait for the perfect moment to move out of your mother or your relative's house because at 40 to 40 years old, you've been relegated for the last several years to living with your parents or your relatives because you're waiting for the perfect job, the perfect moment. You're going to quit your job when you make the exact same amount of money that you are making on, you're going to quit your job when you make the exact same amount of money that you make in your free enterprise business from the comfort of your home that you keep ready to get ready, and you're going to quit your job after the first of the year. Learn to do this. Make your move before you're ready. Create your movement before you're ready. Let go of the control of the outcome. Go to the cliff and jump off. Don't ever tell me you hate your job, because here's what you're going to do. Well, quit, chief. Well, you don't understand. My situation's unique. Oh, contraire, my friend. I do understand. I am one of these people that is psychologically unemployable. I went over the cliff long before I was ready. I amassed a lot of asset liability debt based on going to seminars, rallies, conventions, books, cassettes, CDs, downloads, multiple situations. I paid my dues. The dues must be paid. You cannot succeed with entitlement. You can only succeed with skills, habits, and mindset. And you also, in a team business, you can't be a solo player. You have to learn to conform. But if you are such a nonconformist and you're so proud of your rebellion, and it's oftentimes rebellion that leads to your procrastination because you have entitlement issues. You're so entitled to success that you're not willing to practice the simple discipline, the habits, and or the routine. You have to have the perfect leads. I have called well over at least 100,000 leads that were 10-cent leads, 5-cent leads, 1-cent leads. I used to be a member of a lead generation company in the early 90s called ProStep. Every single month, I used to get at least 1,000 leads, some of the worst leads you could possibly receive from a company called ProStep. Yeah, I bought leads. The leads suck. Well, that's understandable, but I have called many a 10-cent leads, and I'm not advocating you go call 10-cent leads, but I am advocating you must practice your phone skills. You must practice your communication skills. I'm not suggesting you use the white pages, but I'm suggesting that you become creative because leads are a way of life. You have to be willing to risk for reward. You have to be willing to experiment. Well, I can't call a cold lead. A lead isn't cold. A lead is a lead. But when you create a cold lead of something that isn't cold, then you can never get the result you require or the experience you require. You have to learn how to have a system to call a lead. And in a system to call a lead, you develop a law of averages. When you become skilled, proficient, effective, a professional, freaking rock star, when you become good at it, then you won't spend so much time processing. I don't know what to say. Well, open your mouth and start saying it. Start practicing what to say. Instead of continue to tell yourself you don't know what to say, when you do know what to say, say what you know what to do. You've heard it a million times. Many of you have some of my CDs and downloads, and when I ask you, did you listen to Psychology of Asking? I haven't gotten around to it. I've been listening to that procrastinator download. I understand. When your identity is based on procrastination, that's what you will do. How do you think I got good? Here's how. Repetition and experience. Sitting in the box, sitting in the batter's box. I didn't sit around in donut. Donut means mouth opens, no words come out. And when you continue to do that, there's a gap. When there's a gap and a delay in your communication style, it's because you are processing. When you wonder why you get people go, I'm not giving you my Social Security number, and then you encounter someone that never happens to me. The reason it never happens to them is because they don't put the thought out there. They don't have anxiety about a situation that has not happened. What do you do when you get the pyramid? I don't get that objection. Oh, I get it all the time. Of course you do. You project it. You create it. You're addicted to disappointment, and that's what you get by the thoughts you think rather than the thoughts you feel. That's because you analyze, get overwhelmed, practice what you're going to say when you get this. You get so good at practicing what you're going to say that you attract what you don't want to have them say. Then you donut. You open your mouth and can't get the words out because you have a gap and delay in your communication style based on past events that keep you disappointed. The more you understand this, there's a gap and a delay in your communication style based on your identity of processing. When you're an addicted processor, the gaps and the delay that you have will be 2 or 3 second increments in your structured sentences, meaning that you're so conditioned to say the right thing that you create the gap, and then between the gap, the prospect asks you the dumb question that you don't want them to ask. Now you can justify, see, this always happens to me. When you let go of the control that keeps you in control of being this kind of disappointed control, then you'll understand there's nothing to control. When you learn to let go of the outcome before you start, when you learn to adapt and adjust to a situation as it happens, when you learn how to reframe a statement you take a statement and reframe the very key words in a statement end with the question, then you're in command of the interview. But when you have anxiety about interviewing someone, getting overwhelmed, afraid you're going to offend someone, the only people that you will offend are the people who are offendable. And when you have anxiety about making mistakes, you'll make the mistakes to fulfill your anxiety. When you get overwhelmed about how you're going to succeed before you start, you'll stay overwhelmed and never start. That way you can justify never failing. When you have more energy put into failing than you have succeeding, then you'll process how you're going to succeed while you're failing. See, you fail when it's classic. When you have so much energy versed on failing, you're failing before you fail to justify your failure. When you put energy into succeeding and let go of the perceived failure, then you don't fail because every day is an experience. You see, your perception of a situation dictates the outcome. When you have anxiety about the outcome, you've created the outcome in your anxiety. When you let go of the anxiety about the outcome, then the outcome you're having is favorable. When someone doesn't buy from you, it's favorable because that's a result. But when you don't get a result, then you never get the repetition and experience to create results. It becomes the ultimate paradox, the ultimate contradiction. That's where most people live. To be a great hitter, you have to take batting practice. To be a great hitter, you have to have game time at-bats. You can't be a great hitter by sitting in the bleachers. You can study hitting all day long, but hitting is a science. You have to be able to roll your wrist, move your hips into the pitch, let go, and let go of the outcome. If you want to be a great golfer, you can study golf all day long. That's a component, but you have to get on the green. You have to putt. You have to drive. You have to have the tech. You have to have the discipline, the mechanics. Same situation with being a piano. You have to be able to close your eyes and put your fingers on the keys, the white ivory keys, the black keys. You have to let go of control. You practice over and over till you create the auto-suggestion, you know the keys, you memorize them, you know where it is. It's just like typing. The first time you ever look at a typewriter back for me in the 60s was a good old Smith Corona, the kind where the keys would go up and they might stick, had a purple ribbon. It was before whiteout, before even whiteout. Had to have an eraser that might go through the paper. I learned to type on that when I first looked at it. Oh, my God, it's the freaking alphabet in front of me with my fingers. I remember taking my typing in my first class, 1972, and cheating, looking down on it, pecking with one finger. But once I started to learn the keys, then it became very easy. That becomes hand-eye coordination. When you can let go of control, that's what hand-eye coordination is. It means you can move your body very fluidly, adapt to the situation for what it is, and there's a connection between your brain and the result that becomes favorable. But when you have anxiety about the result, you seldom ever get favorable results because you're so overwhelmed about making a mistake. Mistake consciousness comes from being around a passive-aggressive personality who judges you, criticizes you for getting a B+, not an A, wonders why you're late, you're 2 minutes late. Where the hell have you been? We've been up all night worrying about you. You're going to get grounded for the next millennium, the next century. When you're grounded, you're going to go to your room without dinner. When you have this kind of aggressive behavior, this kind of judgment going on in your background, or you grew up in an unpredictable, chaotic, dysfunctional home, you grew up around alcoholism or any other drugs, you grew up in violence or any other situation, then your body becomes attuned in a fight-or-flight situation, secreting a biochemical called cortisol that keeps you processing because you wonder what's going to happen. When you're conditioned to wonder what's going to happen, then you're going to have challenges prospecting because you might make a mistake. You might step on an eggshell that cracks, that makes a noise. You might get in trouble. You might offend someone. You might say the wrong thing. You might say the right thing that could be perceived as the wrong thing and then get judged for being right even though someone creates the wrong situation out of it. When you spend so much time getting ready to get ready, overwhelmed, processing, you're exhausted before you start. And this is why many people wake up exhausted even though they've slept for 12 hours. But typically what happens is they toss and turn. When you spend a great deal of your time worrying about your worry, you're exhausted in your worry. When you send a mixed message, you don't come from love, you're not coming from spirituality, you're not coming from passion or creativity. Your left brain is a much slower vibration. Your right brain is a much more creative, inspired, spiritual self when you're transmuting a different set of feelings. But when you come from your logical, egoic mind, in a business or a situation that requires spirituality and creativity, then you won't get the type of people, you won't attract the type of people you require to collaborate with. And when broken down, we require love, we require joy, we require experience. We seek that innate emotional connection. But when you stay disconnected in an outer body experience processing, because if you've been violated in the past, rejected in the past, abandoned in the past, when you waited for your father to pick you up on his visitation days and he didn't show up, and this happened over and over, then this becomes a mood that's a feeling that's an identity, then you'll attract other partners that will disappoint you. They won't show up. They won't follow through. They'll have affairs on you. They'll do situations to fulfill the feelings of disappointment, abandonment, rejection that got created from a series of events. Now, when you bring those kinds of feelings into free enterprise, you have anxiety about being rejected. You'll process it. You'll get overwhelmed. You'll avoid the perceived pain, stay disappointed, and say, selling is really difficult. I can't seem to close a sale. I can't close my ass with both hands on it. That typically happens when you really don't understand the process of communication. That means you start to change your self-talk. You change your affirmations. You begin to affirm to yourself a different set of situations to create a different result. Instead of saying what I need to do, what I'd like to do, what I hope, I'm going to give it a shot, I'm going to try, I'm going to give it my best effort. You can't. You have to commit. You have to commit to the result. You commit to the action. You commit to the outcome. But when you're non-committal about the outcome, you'll process it. So if any of this content reached you tonight, I cover a lot of this on a download I have called Confessions of a Recovering Procrastinator. On my website, I have a whole series of products that can assist you to understand exactly what I covered on tonight's call. This call will also be available for download tomorrow at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in the afternoon, 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. But for more content on what I covered tonight, you can go to this website, goldenmastermind.com Digital Library. It is a compilation of some of my greatest works, studio content that I created over an 18-year career. You can purchase a series of several downloads, which used to be my original CD sets, a value of about $897, The Psychology of Closing, The Personalities for Success, The Animal Factor, Principles for Prosperity, Psychology of Asking, and a whole host of other audio CDs for $197. It's an $897 value. Also comes with two ebooks, goldenmasterbuying.com/digital library. For anyone who's seeking personal or one-on-one coaching, I routinely have a 12 to 14 week waiting list, and I'm going to be changing my rates at the very first of the year. So if you want to take advantage of my present rates, feel free to contact me at 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I want to thank you for being on this evening's call. I look forward to connecting with you throughout the end of 2014 and well into 2015. This call is officially a call. Have a great evening, everyone.